How you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because of you, you're covered by blood. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't want to percolate the crowd. I just want to praise you now. I don't care what things are right or wrong.
Thank you.
I don't care who tries to calm me down. I just want to praise.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just want to praise Him. I come this afternoon before you, giving all honor, all glory, and all praise to Almighty God. Certainly, the head of my life, me and mine. Welcoming. Just feel so welcome in this place. It just,
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to recognize the angels of this house.
Amen.
Bishop Parker, Minister Ellen Parker, Minister Stephen Brody, Prophetess Tiffany Brody, own staff, Reverend Riley,
yes.
Reverend McMillan,
yes.
Recognize my lovely wife because I want to be able to go back home this afternoon.
Yeah.
Right.
And to this wonderful, wonderful congregation, including my own congregation that's here, some faithful members came with us. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God.
Amen.
Let us go to God in prayer.
Thank you.
Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens.
Thank you, Lord.
Speak, Lord, for there's nothing that I can say that's worth anything until you come.
Yes.
Come right now, Holy Spirit, and just take complete control and hide me. Hide me behind your cross. Way, way, way behind your cross, Lord God, that when I open my mouth, they hear from you, Lord God, and not from me.
Hallelujah.
Have your way, Lord.
Yes.
I submit, Lord. Do with me what you wish, Lord, but speak a word, Lord God, for we are in need of a word.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We call on you now. We count on you, Lord, for we know you have never failed us, Lord. So come right now and take complete control.
Hallelujah.
Have your way, Lord.
Yes, God.
In this place.
Yes.
In this house.
Yes.
Have your way in this vessel, Lord.
Yes.
We call on you.
Yes.
We count on you.
Yes.
It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be able to come in and know that you're in the house of the Lord.
Yes, that's true.
It feels different. I'm sure all of these preachers know you've been different places. But it's a wonderful thing when you walk in and you know that you are in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
I didn't feel odd. I didn't feel strange. I felt at home. I want to speak with you this afternoon coming from the book of Acts. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but I do want to summarize some of the first of the five chapters, the first five chapters I want to use, I want to summarize some of the things in there. And as a reading, I want to just pick up where Reverend Riley left off. He left off at the 12th verse of Acts. And I just want to pick up the 13th, and I'll let you follow me. I'll tell you where I'm going before I read it. I'm going to start with the 13th, and I'll tell you if I'm going to skip. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Something about being with Jesus, spending time with him. Down to that 16th verse, it says, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle have been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." I'm beginning to feel all right. At 19th verse, say, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye."
Yes.
And I like the way that the New Living Translation says that. It says like this. It says, "But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? And for a topic, a guideline for us, I want to give you a super topic and then a subtopic which we will use. The super topic will be reviewing our spiritual game plan. Reviewing our spiritual game plan. And the subtopic is, what ought you be doing? Somebody say hallelujah, preacher.
Hallelujah, preacher.
Hallelujah.
What ought you be doing? I want to focus this afternoon on a fella named John. Because I think John is like a lot of us. John did a lot. I'm talking about the Apostle John.
Okay.
He did a whole lot through this book of Acts, but he really didn't get the kind of press that he ought to. You have to dig and find John. He's not like his partner Peter. Peter kind of stands out. Peter kind of hogs the spotlight.
Yes.
But John, he sits in the shadows, and he has no problem with that. See, it's nothing wrong with being in the shadows sometimes.
That's right.
You see, God knows who he wants in the spotlight.
Yes, he does.
And he knows who he wants in the shadows. You know, some people, without the support people around them, sometimes the support people are the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
you know, and I'm going to use a sport analogy here today. It's kind of like Michael Jordan's Scottie Pippen. Everybody sees Michael Jordan, but he wouldn't be Michael Jordan without Scottie Pippen. So you see, John didn't have a problem in the shadows. Because John knew who he was in the Lord. John knew, as he quotes Jesus in John 15:7, he says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." John was confident in himself. John felt right in his own skin. He knew who he was. Have you ever watched a sporting event like basketball, football, baseball? And at some point, one or both of the teams will call a timeout, or they'll take advantage of some other break because they need to review their game plan.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, y'all better stay with me now. So they take advantage of the breaks, the timeout, or the quarter break in order to review or revise the plan that's being executed.
Hallelujah.
You see, because sometimes you might be getting off track. You might not even know you're getting off track, because when you start drifting, it's not like sliding. It's when you drift, you don't really know that you're getting off track. And sometimes the coach needs to call a timeout. And that's not the way we had it planned.
That's right.
And then sometimes you call that timeout and you realize that that plan that you put in place, it worked for the last team, but it's not working on this one. You need to change your plan.
Yes.
Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And then sometimes you just have to call your team in.
Right. Yes.
And you have to just tell them that you know what you're supposed to be doing. You're just not doing it. You ever been in one of those huddles in the yard? Just do it like we practice it. We did it time and time and time again. Just do it like that. Don't be so innovative. Just do it like we practice it.
Right.
Well, a church anniversary is a good time to review your game plan. You see, let me give you some terminology for us to work with, if I can. A game plan. That's a strategy that's worked out in advance. If we looked at the book of Acts, and the New Living Translation says, "But ye will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It's a pre-planned strategy. He said that's already worked out. He said, "Ye shall receive power."
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Just stick to the game plan.
Come on now.
Strategy. Spread the word with power.
Hallelujah.
Not just what you say, but what you do, how you walk, how you talk, who you are. And then strategy. A strategy is a framework for making decisions. We need to exist in an area that says glorify God.
Yes. Amen. All right then.
In everything I do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says it like this: whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do,
whatsoever,
do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
Glorify God.
Thank you, Lord.
Then an objective. An objective is a path for achieving our mission. If we would keep the path of walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16-25 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The path we should take. The mission. A mission is the vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread its faith.
Amen.
Our mission should be bringing some souls to Jesus.
Yes.
By the service that we give.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I tell somebody they need to be saved, but because somebody look at the way that I walk and they say, I don't know what he got, but whatever it is, I want some of it.
Yes, yes.
What Reverend Brody was describing when he came down the highway, moping, but when he stepped on the steps, he said, I don't know what it is, but I want some of it. I can't wait till the preacher stops and gives me a chance to.
Right.
I've been there too. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
When we review our spiritual game plan, what ought you be doing?
All right. Wow.
Today's, as we focus on Apostle John, the disciple that Jesus loved. You see, John is a living example of one who understands this spiritual battle that we're in.
Thank you.
But he also understands that in the end, we are going to win.
Oh, yes.
See, if you're not careful, you'll lose that in this battle. When you're on this journey, you'll get the game plan mixed up. You'll forget that we are going to win.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
Just need to understand the original game plan. In the book of Acts, the first chapter and the 8th verse, where we find the recording of Jesus' last earthly words, a supplement to the Great Commission. This book is often called the Acts of the Apostles. It's a story of men and women who took the Great Commission serious. John was one of them. It was their mission, the primary goal of their game plan, the strategy and determination to talk and to walk like Jesus. In other words, to live so God can use you.
Hallelujah.
Well,
to live so God can use you. You see, sometimes we get above ourselves and outside of ourselves and take off with our own plan, and we know how it ought to be going. It's hard sometimes to live so God can use you. Sometimes you think, I got so much going. Y'all know we think too much about ourselves. Time for the caller. Time out.
Amen.
Let's review the game plan.
Let's review.
Stay where you are. Keep doing what you're doing. And ye shall receive power. Sometimes it seems like it's never going to come. I've been on this road so long and it just don't seem like nothing is happening. But just stay the course and you will find that power is on the way. John was there on the day of Pentecost. John was there. Peter got the press. But John was there, and he was an integral part of what was going on.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
When they went to the temple, John was there.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
And the Bible says the lame man, he didn't just look on Peter, the lame man, he said he looked on them. People think that he just looked on Peter, but he looked on them because John had something with him too. John knew that at the name of Jesus, that's the only place you can find power. John knew that when you spend time with Jesus,
all right, yeah,
you can find inspiration.
Yes.
As I stick to the metaphor of a sporting event, we're going to call this upsetting Jerusalem.
That's right.
Have you ever gone into a event where the team was so heavily favored?
That's right.
That everybody knew there was no way in the world you can win. The opposition may appear stronger and unbeatable, but you must understand that the opposition is already a defeated foe. When Jesus' disciples were in Jerusalem, by all outward measures, they were defeated. There's no way they could overcome all their opposition. They were few in numbers, and they were inexperienced in leadership. And they were commanded to not fight back. They were not a military unit, nor were they militant. They were opposed by institutions that had existed for hundreds of years. They were woefully outnumbered by groups and individuals. They didn't stand a chance. But they had been with Jesus.
Well,
come
on now.
And they knew that no matter how tough things might get, all they had to do was to wait just a little while longer, and power would come.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you three things real quick here. When I say real quick, My congregation already knows what that means. That means it's not that quick. Number one, we need to recognize the battle that we are in. What we're in is a spiritual battle. It's a head game. In order to have an effective game plan, you have to know your opposition.
Know your opposition.
And the type of battle that they're waging. The Bible speaks about the reality of a conflict we face as believers, and we properly call that conflict spiritual warfare. C.S. Lewis warned us decades ago, though, that here's the problem, that believers usually fall into one or two camps when they deal with the demonic. We either deny their existence, or we get too fascinated with them. But either way, we too often miss the Bible's basic teaching about this conflict. But John offers us guidance. The Apostle John wrote about spiritual warfare in his first epistle. He didn't tell us that we had to go up to the high places in order to tear down the devil's strongholds. He didn't tell us how to cast a demon of anger out of a Christian who sometimes get angry. Come on now, church folk.
Yeah. Come on now.
I don't know how we do. Somebody needs to get the devil out of that girl. But John, like Peter and James, believed in biblical spiritual warfare. And so there are certain things that we can learn from this approach to spiritual warfare. Among them are the following. The Bible is a book about the devil. It's not a book about the devil. It's a book about God. So any approach to warfare that magnifies the devil's power does not reflect biblical spiritual warfare. Is that right?
Yes, I say so.
Amen.
Satan and his forces are real.
They're real.
Amen. Now, some people argue that the concept of Satan and demons is an old concept, but the Bible reveals them as real supernatural beings who oppose God and his people.
Yes.
Our attempts to explain away these forces do not negate their reality. You can say all day long that it's not real, but it's still real.
Amen. Amen.
God reigns, even over the enemy.
Yes.
God's sovereignty uses the spiritual battles to make us the followers he wants us to be. And Satan is not our biggest problem. We face three enemies. The world, our flesh, and the devil. In some cases, these three are so interwoven that it's difficult to tell them apart. This battle that we're in is fought without. That's in the world. Ephesians says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." And we'll not on the defensive in this battle, just because we put on armor. We put on the armor so that we can, not to defend ourselves, but so we can march into the enemy's territory and do the work of the Great Commission. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Our primary problem is not Satan. We are our biggest problem. Romans, just a little bit out of that, says, "For we know not, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not.
Yes.
For what I would, that do I not.
Yes, sir.
But what I hate, that I do. Oh, wretched man, am I." Sound like we're in a pickle.
Yes.
But if we just wait, we will find power.
Hallelujah.
We know that there's no power within me. There's nothing that I can do within myself, but I serve a God that if I submit to Him, if I just wait, then I will find power.
Yes. Yes.
Without Jesus, we can do nothing. But with Him, we can do all things. This enemy that we face is defeated already. He was bound at the cross. Jesus has already paid the cost. The warfare, I want you to listen to this, is the devil's attempt to deceive and divide us. The enemy wants to mess us up by making us fall into sin. The enemy wants us to give up.
Oh, yes.
You ever got tired? Brother Steve. You ever got tired when something didn't go right in one situation? I'm done.
Yep.
You get tired. The devil wants us to give up, to get discouraged.
Amen.
He wants us to get puffed up. I'm better than you.
Yeah.
I can do this better than you. He wants us to split up.
Right.
I got a better church than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wants us to shut up.
Right.
Stop telling people
All right.
About that God that you serve.
Right.
You got pencils? I want you to write these questions down as we review that game plan. Are you glorifying God in all you do? That's a thought question. John says it like this. He says, Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." Are you glorifying God in all that you do? Are you walking in the Spirit? I like to say it like this. Are you keeping your wits about you? See, in order for us to walk in the Spirit, we have to be rightly related to God.
Yes.
And in order for us to be rightly related to God, we have to be rightly related to each other.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Father God.
People say it's easy to love God.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I can love my fellow man. Some people just hard to get along with. Is that right or is that just me? And are you bringing souls to Jesus? by the life that you're living. Do people seek you out? Just want to talk to you. Just sometimes they don't even know, but they just want to talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna just briefly track through here with John, and we're gonna quit. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them to never again speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John said, Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him?
All right.
And then they prayed. Yes. And the Bible tells me that the meeting place was shook. Uh-huh. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And
amen.
So that they could preach with boldness.
Yes.
And the council and the Sadducees, and as Reverend Mike Goodwin said, all those that could not see,
well,
they were filled with jealousy and indignation, but it didn't matter because those that had been with Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Bible tells me that they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. And I like the way that Acts records that, because a lot of times you see a miracle and people are looking for what it was that God did. But my Bible simply tells me but an angel of the Lord came at night and opened the gates of the jail and brought them out.
Yes.
That's all to it. Jesus, it didn't have to do nothing special. It just opened the gates. Didn't have to move from where he was. Didn't have to descend on the place and cause a hurricane or cause a storm to open up the gates. Just angel of the Lord, just open up the gates.
All right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Then he told him, go to the temple and give the people this message of life.
Yes.
So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching.
Yes.
And when the high priest and his officials arrived, they convened the high council, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. Then they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial.
Yes.
And someone arrived with startling news.
Yes.
The men you put in jail,
all right,
they're not in jail anymore. They standing in the temple and they preaching and praising the Lord.
Yes.
Nobody left the door open either. The captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles without violence, because the apostles said, we don't have to fight. We let God do our fight. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the priest confronted them. Didn't we tell you never again to teach in this man's name? Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human authority. What ought you be doing? What are you putting up with.
Jesus.
As I close, the words of a song. I don't know about you.
I don't know about you.
But I don't feel no ways tied. Because I've come too far. From where I started from.
Hallelujah.
Nobody told me that the road would be easy. But I don't believe that he brought me this far just to leave me. I've been sick. Didn't know how I was going to make it, if I was going to come back through, or whether this was my time up, but I still don't believe God brought me this far just to leave me. I've been in trouble, but I don't believe he got me out of trouble just to bring me here and leave me.
Amen.
I've been by myself without friends and don't know who to turn to, but I don't know why he fixed that situation and brought me here. I just don't believe he brought me this far just to leave me. Hallelujah. I don't believe that God brought me this far just to leave me.
Yes.
Greater deliverance, tabernacle. Keep your hand in God's hand.
That's right.
Keep doing what you're doing. If God says so. And if you're doing something that God didn't say so, stop doing it. Take a time out.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Because some might be doing it because they intended, but others might be doing it because I thought I was doing the right thing. Time out.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Keep your hand in God's hand.
Amen.
You have a wonderful leadership team here.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
They're people of God. I don't say that lightly. I know them. Those two are like my children. That's like my big brother.
Amen.
Or maybe my little brother. I don't know. You have to compare age after that. I think George told me you're my little brother. But when I met Pastor Parker, the first time I met him, there was just something about him. I met him down at the school. When you were down at the school, that I can't use my child for this.
Right.
I think it was about 16 years ago. I think that's about 16 years ago. I met him at the school you were worshiping at. And when I met him, it was just something about him. Something that would just calm your spirit, and you would know that he spent some time with the Lord.
Amen.
And every time I've seen him since, I met him and his wife. We were in a place together not too long ago. And there's something about the Spirit.
Amen.
So keep following your leadership.
Hallelujah.
And as they hear from God, listen. Because I don't believe he brought you this far.
Amen.
Just to leave you.
That's right. Amen.
Happy 32nd. And I hope you are here for many, many more.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
That the road would be easy, but I don't. brought me this far to lead me.
I said, I don't believe.
I don't believe he brought me this far.